From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's September the 3rd, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. And just before that, we'll hear from statisticians in Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Iowa about crop conditions in their states. Nationwide, USDA says 61% of the corn crop is in good or excellent condition, and 57% of the soybean crop lands in one of those two categories. More on crop conditions later, and the weather, too. As we close out this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, we'll hear, of course, from Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on a Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby September wheat at $7.52 and a quarter, 8 cents higher. December at $7.74 and 3 quarters, up 8. The March contract at $7.98 and a half, up 7 and 3 quarters. September Kansas City hard red winter wheat at $7.99 settled 6 and a quarter higher. From the corn pit in Chicago, 6.5 cents. The loss in the nearby September at $5.46 and a half, down 6 and a half. December contract at $5.62 and a quarter, down 7. And the March contract at $5.81, 7 cents lower. May corn futures, $5.93, down 7 and 1 quarter. September soybeans, $12.51 today. The loss, 50 and a half cents. November futures at $12.51 and 1 half, down 47 cents. And January futures, $12.68 and a half, down 47. March soybeans, $12.80 and 3 quarters, down 47 as well. September bean meal at $3.53.10, $11.80 lower. September bean oil at $50.48, down $1.55. October live cattle futures at $103.15, 60 cents lower. September feeders at $110.55, down $1.22.5. And the October lean hog futures this afternoon finished at $68.65, down 90 cents on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of WILL from the University of Illinois campus in Urbana-Champaign. Here's what the outside markets look like on the afternoon. October crude oil futures at $108.85, 86 cents lower. October, or rather November, at $109.25, down $1.05 a barrel. September ethanol at $2.22 and 5 tenths, a penny lower. Gas futures at $7.26 for the natural gas, down 0.1 cents. And the RBOB gasoline at $2.76 and 3 tenths, 2 and 9 tenths lower on the afternoon. Heating oil, it's diesel fuel at $3.07 and 8 tenths of a cent a gallon, down 5 tenths of a cent, or rather up 5 tenths of a cent, and propane futures are now trading 2 cents lower at $1.72. September gold futures at $802.70, down $2.30, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average is now at 51 points lower, trading at 11,464 for the afternoon. U.S. dollar at 78.13 is up 0.11 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. According to our own Ed Kieser, tonight in northern and west-central parts of Illinois, should be cloudy, little rain, some thunderstorms. Some of those will be locally heavy. Elsewhere in Illinois and in northern and western Indiana, mostly cloudy skies, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. In southeastern Indiana, partly cloudy. Lows will range from 54 in the far northwestern parts of Illinois to 70 in the far south. Tomorrow in Illinois and far western Indiana, cloudy, periods of rain and thunderstorms. Locally heavy rain possible again. Elsewhere in Indiana, a mix of clouds, some hazy sunshine. Highs tomorrow will range from 60 in the far northwestern parts of Illinois to 92 in the far south central parts of Indiana. The extended forecast calls for rainfall through midday Friday that is likely to exceed the 2-inch amounts across the portions of northern and west central Illinois, with some locations possibly receiving more than 4 inches of rain.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check in on the commodity markets and how they finished up. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, there are a few sprinkles here, and I was checking with Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser just before we came on the program. It looks like rainfall starting to spread across portions of the central part of the state of Illinois and to the places to the south, I suppose. Is it needed? And then what happened with the marketplace for soybeans?
Yeah. I talked to two meteorologists myself before the close, and one says it looks a lot drier to him today at the noon models. And I also talked to another one that I don't bother near as much. And he also said that, you know, we might be in a situation where Oakland, Danville, Illinois, Terre Haute is in the third of an inch type of thing, and this morning they were an inch to inch and a half. So I think that's something that I'm worried about as far as the weather, and of course we're getting closer to the time frame. And yes, rain is welcome, and some of those places like the south half of Indiana, Ohio, not going to get much rain. Couple things. The crop ratings dropped overnight. We did get FC Stone's production numbers. We did get this Osprey commodity firm who bought ConAgra. They're a very big player. They made a lot of money. They probably gave a lot of money away. And they liquidated some funds. And the rumor is there's other funds that were liquidated at the heights of trading. There was over 65,000 contracts of corn and soybeans were traded in the midday session. Fund liquidation was enormous. It reminded me of the days where an auction truck was backed up and they were selling cattle or machinery at a frantic pace. The market was scared. Phone calls were backed up four and five at a time waiting to talk. And it was a busy day. Now, is the panic over? Well, it'll be reduced, of course, if the rainfall's reduced. There's still this feeling that Informa Sparks will come out with an enormously large corn and soybean crop. There was a step with a smaller corn crop by FC Stone. But, you know, with this hotter temperatures and reduced rainfall that we've seen, we do think that the edge has been taken off of this bin-buster crop that the government talked about in August.
Maybe we should talk a little bit more about this company that bought ConAgra. And I'm as far off on the name and how it's properly pronounced as you are probably, but Osprey, I think, is the correct name. I think you got that right. If I remember correctly from earlier in the year, they're East Coasters, and that they really operated funds more than they had ever operated elevators. So the question is, did you hear any given reasons for their liquidation?
And well, they lost money. And in the contract, it says if it gets to a certain level, the investors have the right to pull the plug, and that's basically what happened. And it's a deal where, you know, I think the level was somewhere in that 28 to 30% level, and it took more. And, of course, whether or not the grain company is involved in this, but they did pay, I think, something like $1.6 to $1.8 billion for ConAgra, which was a very healthy price, you know, at the time. Everybody kind of rolled their eyes at that one. And they made a lot of money, Todd, and they gave a lot of money back. And it's one of the deals like, you know, I'm always reminded by Mr. Tabor, the gentleman that owned the company I started to work for in the business, who says anybody can make $1 million, it's the smart guy that can hold on to it. And I remember that, you know, almost daily. So, you know, as a result of that, these people made a lot of money. They gave a lot of it away. And the feeling is that there's other funds that are having problems, and that's one reason why we saw this market basically buckle here on basically somewhat optimism that we're very, you know, the yield is probably getting smaller instead of larger, and also, you know, maybe we are going to have to bid up for acres next year.
Well, I suppose that's the question. Is there much more to the downside in to come? And I guess your answer is that if these funds are really starting to buckle and liquidate, it could turn ugly very fast.
Well, you know, the problem is a lot of times this is old news. And,
right.
You know, back in the open outcry, we used to know and get the feeling where V-bottoms, the market would sell off and then turn off. You know, the market didn't go limit, so to speak. My point is, as I said, you know, we are looking at bean fields that are turning.
Right.
A good inch of rain isn't going to help those beans out very much. And we do see and get the feeling that the corn crop is turning this horrible yellow look, and when I go out and look at the fields, you know, the number of row counts are down. Some of the private elevators are out here counting, and it's amazing, you know, what reports we are getting, and then reports from Informa that we're seeing this ever-increasing big bin buster crop of corn and beans out here. So there is divergence in the marketplace, and hopefully the government will give us some sort of a good answer September the 12th.
Well, the government has given the same answer that Informa has given the past two times.
That's right. And so hopefully, you know, with crop ratings starting to drop, maybe we will see a better report.
All right. Well, we'll see what Informa has to say later this week, I assume.
Who knows? With John McCain's Maverick-type, we might even have to do away with crop reports. Todd, if you don't straighten up.
Oh, well, if I don't straighten up.
I'm joking with you.
Oh, that's okay. I've got another question for
okay.
you, because I was looking at these charts just a bit, and while it was an outside down day, it appears, well, not only appears, but the uptrend since the previous low still remains intact in the bean pit. Are you of a mind that we still have the market times to go up? At this point, it sure sounds like that's the case, but that you're fairly cautious about it.
Well, a couple things that we do know. If we're halfway right on the supply-demand and the demand base that we are looking at here, we are going to have to bid up for some acres next year, 6 to 8 million acres. If the economy and world economy stays halfway level here, and I think we're all optimistic that we can see that, and what we're basically seeing with low interest rates, that ultimately with a little whiff of inflation here, we can basically price and work our way out of the housing crisis and improve conditions in the world. So with that in mind and more demand, we will see a price base and price push as far as more acres are concerned.
Paul, we'll talk with you again next week.
Always fun to talk about the grain markets with you, Todd, and WILL.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from WILL, public radio for the farming world. I'm your host, University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, the crop progress report yesterday and this morning's weekly weather summary show just what you might have expected. It says dryness continued during the week in the Corn Belt as temperatures remained within 2 degrees of normal. Corn at or beyond the dough stage has now reached 83%. That's 12 points behind last year and 8 points behind the 5-year average. Development to the denting stage at 45% with 30 points behind the last year and 20 points behind the 5-year rolling average nationwide. 6% of the nation's corn crop has reached maturity now. That's 15 points behind last year and 10 points behind the 5-year average. Corn condition ratings declined 3 points to 61%, good to excellent. On the soybean front, USDA reports, as we've already heard, in the central part of the Corn Belt and the Delta region too, temps were slightly cooler than average. Nationwide development to pod setting reached 94%, 4 points behind last year, and 3 points behind the 5-year rolling average. Other than a 25-point delay in Missouri, all states were within 4 points of the average, says USDA. Pod setting was complete in Michigan, North Dakota, and Ohio, and nearly complete in Louisiana, Minnesota, and Mississippi. 4% of the soybean acreage was dropping leaves by the week's end. That's 8 points behind last year and 6 points behind the 5-year average. Delays of 32 and 16 points were evident in Mississippi and Arkansas, respectively. However, the rest of the soybean-producing states were within 10 points of the 5-year average. Condition ratings declined 4 points for the soybeans to 57%, good to excellent, nationwide. Now, here are statisticians with updates from Indiana, Minnesota, Nebraska, and Illinois.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending August 31st. The corn crop was reported 48% in the dense stage, trailing last year's almost unheard of 89% and the 78% 5-year average. 2% was reported in the mature category compared to 36% 1 year ago and 19% for the 5-year average. And while this year's crop has a ways to go before harvest can begin in earnest, last year, 4% of the corn crop had already been harvested by this date. The soybean crop came in at 95% setting pods compared with last year's 99% and the 98% 5-year average. 5% of the crop was reported turning yellow compared with 34% 1 year ago and 25% normally. The soybean crop was rated in 62% good or excellent condition. In other crops around the state, sorghum is 94% headed compared to 98% normally, and the third cutting of alfalfa has reached 82% complete, trailing the 87% 5-year average. Stay tuned as we are now just about a week and a half out from our September crop production report to be published on the 12th. Highlighting this report will be corn and soybean yield updates from the levels set back in August. And once again, thanks to all of the producers who have completed our surveys, providing for timely, accurate statistics. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending August 31st, 2008. It was a dry, warm week for much of Nebraska, with temperatures averaging 1 degree above normal, with the exception of the eastern part of the state where temperatures were below normal. Overall, 3/4 of the corn crop rated good or excellent near last year's crop rating at this time. Over 90% of the crop is in the dough stage and more than half is dented. Chopping of dryland corn for silage has begun in some areas. Soybeans are nearly finished setting pods, with crop conditions below year-ago levels. The alfalfa acreage continues to be rated mostly good or excellent. Third cutting is more than 3/4 complete. A few producers have begun a fourth cutting. Pasture and range conditions continue to rate mostly good or excellent, but are now below last year's levels. This is Becky Summer of the USDA NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending August 31st, 2008. Small grain harvest caught up to the 5-year average progress during the past week. As of August 31st, spring wheat and barley harvests were 2 percentage points ahead of the average progress for the date, and oat harvest was 3 percentage points behind the average. The average temperature for the week was 65.3 degrees, 0.4 degrees above normal. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday, August 29th, were rated 14% very short, 36% short, and 50% adequate. As of Sunday, August 31st, 73% of the corn was in the dough stage, compared to 98% last year and 86% for the average. 24% of the corn was in the dense stage, compared to 84% last year and 59% for the average. 15% of the soybeans were turning yellow, compared to 43% last year and 32% for the average. Spring wheat was 84% harvested, compared to 98% last year and 82% for the average. Barley was 92% harvested, compared to 100% last year and 90% for the average. Oats were 93% harvested, compared to 100% last year and 96% for the average. As of Friday, August 29th, 64% of the corn and 65% of the soybeans were rated in good or excellent condition. 79% of the sunflowers and 73% of the sugar beets were rated in good or excellent condition. 29% of the pastures were rated in good or excellent condition. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending August 31st, 2008. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending August 31st. A continued lack of precipitation has left some areas with bone-dry soils and stressed the major field crops. The replanted and later planted fields are especially vulnerable to the moisture shortages. In some areas, corn plants are showing signs of stress and firing. In the driest areas, particularly on dry clay banks or sandy hills, the plants are shutting down early. In some fields, soybean leaves were reported as prematurely yellowing on higher ground or turning over to conserve moisture. The continued dry conditions are more harmful as temperatures exceed 90 degrees during the critical pod filling stage for soybeans. The third cutting of the hay crop resulted in low yields in many areas across the state. Topsoil moisture was rated 27% very short, 46% short, 27% adequate, and 0% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 18% very short, 38% short, 44% adequate, and 0% surplus. Precipitation ranged from 0 to 0.67 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 92 to a low of 48 degrees. 89% of the corn acreage is in the doe stage, compared with 97% last year and 94% for the five-year average. 42% of the corn acreage is now dented, compared with 74% last year and 64% for the five-year average. The condition of the corn crop declined for the third straight week and was rated at 59% good to excellent, compared to 44% last year at this time. 93% of the soybean acreage is setting pods, compared to 99% for last year and 97% for the five-year average. 6% of the soybean acreage is shedding leaves, compared to 17% for last year and 11% for the five-year average. The soybean condition also fell and is rated at 49% good to excellent, compared to 43% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. We usually take this time to talk about the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Fortunately for me, they weren't available. Fortunately, because I spent a little more time than I probably should have talking about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. So we'll go ahead and move through the show in just 2 minutes. We'll talk with Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. In the mean space, please visit our website if you can at willag.org. That's willag.org. From the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, I'm Todd Gleason. Talk to you in 2 minutes.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Six firefighters from the Champaign area are on their way to the Gulf Coast while the region recovers from Hurricane Gustav. They left early this morning. They'll relieve firemen from that area who have been helping with evacuations and cleanup since before the weekend. Champaign's Deputy Fire Chief Eric Mitchell says he expects the length of the deployment to take 1 or 2 weeks, much shorter than the time committed to Hurricane Katrina 3 years ago. Demonstrators staging a school boycott to protest Illinois' education funding system have set up impromptu classrooms across downtown Chicago in government and business buildings. A group of school students is skipping classes this week. They're in the city's Loop instead, where retired teachers are giving lessons in full sight of office workers entering and exiting. Tasha Harris is a spokeswoman for the boycott's leader, State Senator James Meeks. She says people who walk by have voiced support. At the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, a dozen students sprawled out on the floor of the visitor center. Older ones learned about the history of the Merck, and Pastor Willie Comer of Salem Baptist Church says Merck officials promised a speaker to teach the students about trading. Democratic candidate for Indiana Governor Jill Long Thompson wants to offer more students a fifth year in high school, a move she says would improve the state's graduation rate. Long Thompson says some students need more time. She says that cost to taxpayers could pay off in the long run by avoiding other costs associated with high school dropouts. A judge has decided not to dismiss a lawsuit from the Illinois Attorney General against Carl and Christie Clinics. The two clinics are accused of conspiring to deny access to new Medicaid patients in Champaign-Urbana in order to boost their reimbursements from the state. The clinics deny the complaint. Earlier this year, Judge Richard Klaus threw out the original suit, but he allowed the AG's office to restate its case, and today he allowed the suit to go to trial. The Illinois Department of Transportation bought more new cars than any other state agency, but a spokesman is defending the purchases. Mike Claffey says the vehicles replaced cars and light trucks with more than 150,000 miles on their odometers were damaged in accidents or deemed too expensive to repair. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Weather's going to cool down.
Well, yeah, it's that time of the year. It's not necessarily going to become threatening, though. Probably the only negative we can find in this whole deal is that crop maturation rates will be slow, and that means that we'll probably be pushing those initial harvest dates just a little bit further back, which is not a good thing necessarily because we're still playing around with cooling atmosphere that might eventually bring us a frost or freeze event to the Midwest, but I certainly don't see anything at the moment that would be considered threatening to any of the crops in the heart of the Midwest anytime real soon. So, in fact, the midday models came out today and kind of reduced to some of the coolness that was advertised for early next week. And we have to be careful because the midday run tends to be a little bit warmer biased than some of these other model runs. But nevertheless, I don't think there's any reason for us to be too terribly concerned about that situation. Now, we do still have the dryness issue out there in parts of Ohio and Indiana, Kentucky and Michigan. There will be an opportunity for some rain to fall in some of these areas as we go through the coming week. I do think that Michigan in particular will probably have a fairly good opportunity for picking up on some meaningful rain. But the amounts in Indiana and Ohio will progressively be lighter and lighter as the disturbance moves eastward. This is going to come from Gustav's remnants, by the way. We are going to see some pretty hefty rains occur from Missouri into Michigan over the next 48 hours with a little bit of rain, probably in the quarter to three-quarter inch range for some areas in Indiana. And then when you get out there to Ohio, we'll be lucky to see a half inch of rain in any part of that state, I think. And lastly, of course, we got Tropical Storm Hannah, which is still expected to become an issue for the Carolinas, and that is still expected to take place over the weekend. The storm will be very close to the Georgia-South Carolina coastal area on Friday. We'll probably move inland up along the Atlantic coast or just inland, perhaps, as we go through Saturday and Sunday. It'll be a fast mover, though, and will not produce a lot of really hefty rainfall.
Well, it looks like, as you suggested, that the cool weather is not going to be that big a problem other than it will be slowing maturity. And I suppose that's mostly because there's not going to be a lot of difference between the daytime highs and the nighttime lows. I mean, considerable difference. The lows don't look like they're all that low, but the highs aren't all that high over the next few days either, are they?
No, I think that's exactly right. And it's a byproduct of the fact that we've got a bit of an increase in moisture coming into the atmosphere at the same time we do have cooling occurring aloft and still some warm air at the surface. And this is going to continue to be the case for the next several days. When we get into early next week and after we get all these tropical cyclones out of the way, I think the atmosphere will kind of adjust itself a little bit, and those diurnals will become a little bit more normal. And that could be a concern just simply because if we start allowing those nighttime temperatures to drop down a little bit more, we might see more instances like that which occurred last night when we saw temperatures in the 30s reach all the way down into western Nebraska. That kind of thing could happen further east a little later in this month. I certainly don't see it on the charts right now.
Drew, thanks much.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that is today's edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.